really excited, but I'm passionate about Jesus and his church. Are you still excited about his church? God's great church. I can still hardly believe what I get to do. You know, it's awesome. I love being here and leading his church. And we're in a series called Is It Enough? Last week you leaned in to learn about how love gives. Somebody say love gives. Love gives, so what do we love to give, right? So God so loved that he gave, and a big part of his discipleship formation in our life is becoming image bearers of Christ means we're actually being intentional to become more and more like Jesus, who is and was and still is, but God in human form, right? And it's beautiful because love gives, so we love to give. So that's an important message to be able to understand. If you missed it, jump online and grab a hold of that, what God's trying to say at this season. At Beloved City Church, one of our core founding and cultural values is that we lead the way in irrational generosity. And that's why some of the things we've done, like started social enterprise businesses and things, we want to be a generous church in this city. And I want to teach you from the Word of God how to be part of that movement that God is birthing. And there's lots of empty chairs around you. So I want you to get real excited with me over the next few weeks and invite a friend. Be like, hey, God's doing something great at Beloved City Church, and I want you to be part of it. He's doing something in me. And so I love being a part of it. And don't be just a spectator, right? Like that's a team sports. We're all in this together, right? And we're a team built, which means you get to participate. I need you to preach back to me a little bit today and let me know that you're getting what we are laying down. Can you say, just say it with me, try it out, say amen. 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 Try that again. Amen. 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 Uh-huh. Say that, try that. Uh-huh. Yeah, someone say yeah. Yeah. Someone say right on. Right on, right on, right on. Come on, preach. Can you do that for me today? So when you think of a generous person, what comes to mind? Maybe it's donating to causes. Maybe it's volunteering your time. Maybe spreading random acts of kindness. I love Beloved and what God's grown here. We love the red shirt causes. You know, they're served. They big red shirts. It says serve all over it. And I love it. And serve days are not only are we growing in love with God, but here's what we're trying to learn in that act of service is we're actually learning to love our city. How many of you ever lived here and you're like, I hate this place? No one wants to be honest with me? No, I'm kidding. I've said that sometimes. I'm like, I can't stand the traffic here. Wow, this is so dirty. And God's had to work on my heart because God sent me here to love on this city. So we love God, love people, pursue excellence, and choose joy. That's what we do around here. That's some of our cultural distinctions that helps us grow what it feels like around here, what it smells like around here, right? What we experience around here. So that's what we want to do. So we have serve days, and I love it, how we get to love our city, love our neighborhoods. But how does the Bible define a generous person? How does the Bible define a generous person? Well, see, being generous has less to do with your bank account and more to do with your mindset. Someone say mindset. See, Jesus lived generously, and he's actually inviting you to follow in his footsteps. So not only do we want to have like nice words to say, nice vibes in our neighborhood, be kind people and compassionate, we want to be generous because Jesus himself was generous. He gave his life for ransom for us, right? So we want to, like, if Jesus lived generously and he's inviting you to follow him, then there must be some followership in my generosity. Let me start by asking you a question. It's a personal question. And I want to ask you this. What are you good at when it comes to your money? What are you gifted at? What are you good at when it comes to your money? I'll give you some options. I wonder how many of you would honestly say that I'm really, really good at spending. Close your eyes and raise your hand if that's you. So no one's like, I'm really good at spending, God. And if you need, you might have to raise the hand of the person beside you because they didn't. They weren't being honest. Like, we're all really good at spending for the most part. Some of you, you've got the spiritual gift of spending. I don't think it's biblical, but it's a spiritual gift. You are shopping to what LeBron is to basketball. That's kind of how you're shopping is, or Jordan, or, whoever you want it to be, right? So you're so good at spending that your credit card actually asks and books off a vacation. Ever had that happen? It's like you are really good at spending. I'll ask you another question. How many of you would say you're actually really, really good at bargain hunting? Bargain hunting. Yeah, a couple of you? Yeah, a couple of you. That's awesome. Yeah, you're really good at, like, you actually think if you find something for 50% off and buy it, you save money, right? But you didn't. You actually spent 50% of that money still. So, kind of, doesn't work. Anyway. So maybe you're, you know, it makes perfect sense, right? But, you know, if this is you, maybe you're going to bed, wife or husband's already sleeping. Guess what you're doing on Facebook Marketplace? Uh-huh. I'm bargain hunting, honey. You sleep. It's okay. Maybe you're the coupon king or queen, right? And you're couponing like crazy. You even got a bumper sticker says that I break for grad sales kind of thing, right? So you're really good at bargaining. And so we have a spending gift. We have a bargaining gift. And how many of you are really good at saving? Anyone really good at saving? Saving. Couple of you are really good at saving. Few of you are good at saving. All right, so your mama told you to put some money aside, you know, or maybe your wife, and you've been doing that for a year. Some of you, and you have so, some of you probably, you know, have so much cash stuffed under your mattress, you know, like you could buy a small country probably for that, or you're really good at saving, right? Nobody knows, not even your spouse, right? Here's what interests me. When you think about it, there's not a single Bible verse, friends, that says we should be great at shopping. There's not a single Bible verse that says we should be great at bargain hunting. I know we try to justify, but here, and it's great. I love bargains too. And there's not a single Bible verse that says we should be great at storing up for ourselves treasures on earth. But listen, there are plenty of verses in God's word that says we should be great at giving. I mean, Jesus himself talks more about money than he does talk about hell and heaven. What crazy, right? 20 years ago, that's all they preached about was heaven and hell. Everyone's going to hell. Everyone's going to heaven. You know, like fire and brimstone preaching. But that wasn't Jesus' case. He talked more about money than he actually did about fire and brimstone and hell and heaven. Heaven and hell is in the Bible still, of course, but. So we're in a message series called Is It Enough? And we're actually studying through 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And I want to give you the context. If you missed it last week, Paul was writing to the Christians in Corinth. And he was encouraging them to be generous like Jesus. And now previously the Corinthians has said, you know, like, we want to give. We're going to give. We actually plan to give. And they planned to get, and they started, but then they stopped. Kind of like us sometimes too, right? They had good intentions, but they didn't have the follow through. How many of you this week alone had good intentions that you didn't follow through on, honey? Nobody? I know I have. I'll just be honest. I had some good intentions that I didn't follow through on. See, 2 Corinthians 8 and 67, Paul said this. He said, we've urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish what you promised, to finish the ministry of giving. See, you had good intentions. You were going to, but you didn't finish what you intended to do. And then, I like what Paul calls it. He calls it, finish the ministry of giving. And I want you to realize this, that giving is very, very spiritual. It's actually a ministry when you give. Like praying. Everybody goes like, well, of course, praying is obviously spiritual. And fasting, well, it's spiritual. I just don't like doing it, right? And reading your Bible, of course, is spiritual. I do that a couple times a day. And going on a mission trip, I'd like to. I know that's spiritual kind of thing, right? And serving in beloved kids. Serving in beloved kids is really spiritual, by the way. And serving in the two-year-old room, man, it may be the most spiritual thing that you're ever going to do in your life. But don't forget that giving is very spiritual. It's actually a ministry, as Paul calling it. And Paul says, hey, why don't you finish the ministry of giving? And so he continues in verse 7. He says, since you excel in so many ways, you're so gifted. You're so excellent. In other words, you're great and you excel in your faith and you excel with gifted speakers and you excel with your knowledge and wisdom and you excel with your enthusiasm and you excel with your love toward us. And what does he say? He says, I want you also to excel in the gracious act of giving. So you're doing such a great job and everything else. Here's what I want you to do, beloved City Church, if Paul was talking to us. I want you also to excel in the gracious act of giving. You've got big faith to believe for God for miracles. You've got gifted communicators, gifted worshipers. You've got great, you know, you're great at seeking biblical knowledge and you're great with spiritual enthusiasm. You're great at showing love. I also want you to be great at giving. I want you to be like world-class givers, like irrationally generous. Can you imagine? Irrationally, it's going to be mind-blowing. And what I'm guessing about most of you is probably a little bit like me. You actually want to be great at being generous. You want to be great at giving. You've got good intentions, and you want to be really good at it. But sometimes we just don't have the follow-through. How many would you say you've ever thought about giving something, but you didn't? Anyone ever thought about giving something? I've been there a few times. They're like, eh, no. Is there anyone else who will be honest with me today? I know one thing. Here's one thing I know. The devil himself has actually never tempted me to be generous. Weird. Why? Right? Because it's the heart of God. The devil doesn't want to do anything to tempt you ever to be like the heart of God. Like some days we think about, we have good intentions. We want to do it. And we don't. And Paul's talking to the Corinthian church who had the very same issue that many of us have today. We want to be generous, but we're not necessarily great at being generous. So if we want to be great at anything, what do we know? If we want to be great at something, what do? We know that nobody ever becomes great at anything by accident, right? I don't know anybody who just said like, I don't know, I was in the airport and I just walked by the piano and I sat down and dang, I was a concert pianist by accident, right? Like, I mean, I don't know how it happened. I was just like, da, 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 da. No one says that. No one ever says that I just did heart surgery for the first time. I don't even know. I just took out the kitchen knife and I did a really good job. I was really good at it, right? And thank God you did. Just don't do that. The way you get great at something is you actually plan to work at it, to be trained in it, to exercise. You strategically decide like, hey, I'm going to be really good at this. And then you put in the time to train yourself and to practice. No one ever just accidentally became irrationally generous person. And the reason that we don't accidentally become irrationally generous is because we are naturally selfish. And I can prove this. If you have ever been around a two-year-old, you never have to have selfish lessons with a two-year-old, right? You don't have to teach them how to be selfish. You know, like, hey, kid, I'm going to teach you how to be selfish today. I'm going to give you this toy, and then I'm going to take it back, and then you yell at me with a blood-curdling scream. Like, you never have to teach a child how to be selfish, do we? They're naturally born that way. Me, mine, feed me now. Oh, no, you never have to teach it to your, because, see, we're naturally selfish as human beings. We're born into sin, and selfishness is part of our sinful nature, and it's the same thing with, I don't know if you've ever looked at a group photo. I've probably said this before. I think I have because it's a really good illustration. When you look at a group photo, who do you look at first when you're in that photo? You, right? You're not looking at your wife or your friend or whatever. You're looking at you and you're like, oh, what's with my eyes all scrunched up weird? Like, what was they looking at? Like, you look at you. Like, this is the way it is. We're naturally selfish people. And it sucks, you know, in some ways. But you're like, it's not a good picture. Everybody else looks amazing. But hey. So nobody becomes irrationally generous. It's not in our natural nature. Nobody becomes great at generosity. Nobody excels at generosity by accident. You hearing what I'm laying down? Really simple, right? No one. This doesn't happen by accident. It's, you know, we actually have to plan for it. We have to train for it. We have to exercise it. And so we don't become generous by accident. And but let me read a scripture. We actually have to plan for it. Isaiah 32:8 tells us this. But generous people. Let's say it aloud. What do they do? Generous people plan to do what is generous. You guys did really good. Let me try it again. Read it with me. Generous people plan to do what is generous. You guys, there we go. Woo, good job, class. And what else do they do? And they say this with me. Stand firm in their generosity. I love this. Nothing worse as a kid. I don't know about you. I don't know if you were one of those kids. If you were, you would not have been my friend. But, you know, if you're one of those kids that they give you a gift and then the day later they're like, well, they want it back. And, you know. We had words for those people, but I won't use them here, right? And what's that's kind of how it works, and it's not the way we want to live at the same time. But seriously, if you really want to be like God, who gives, because we learned last week, for God so loved the world that he gave, some people have said you may never be more like God than when you give. So if you want to be great at what you do, if you want to be great in your life, it's not about being great and proudful about it, but if you want to be excellent in what you do, if you want to be like God, because that's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to be gods, but we're trying to be shaped in his character and attitude, right? So be great at being generous then. So what do you do? In order to be great at it, you got to plan to be generous. And then what do? You stand firm in your generosity. Like you're not waving, like, oh, wait a second, God, I want that back now. What's the return policy on this thing anyway? What's interesting is most of us don't plan to be generous. I haven't always planned to be generous. Sometimes I just have money in my pocket. Rarely, it seems like. Sometimes I think like, hey, maybe I'll give it. Then I don't. I buy a ginger ale instead. Most of us don't plan to give. We plan a lot of other things though, don't we? We plan a ton of things. We plan what we're going to eat for lunch. We plan what we're going to wear. We'll plan a vacation. We'll plan to remodel the kitchen. We'll plan a party. We might even plan a date night. Most people don't plan their giving, right? Most of us, then what do we do? How do we mostly give then? Most of us give spontaneously. Actually, most of us spend spontaneously too, right? But most of us give spontaneously. And I just want to say right now, it's not wrong to give spontaneously. See, you're driving down the road, you see someone in need with a sign that says need food, and you think, hey, I want to bless that person, and you want to, you know, occasionally give spontaneously. I have a cash cup coin cup in my car. So it's all my coins. So if I see something like, hey, here's a couple bucks, right? Whatever, it's going to help you buy food or buy alcohol, whatever you're going to buy. Go do your thing. It's okay. I'm trying to be generous. And, you know, there's rehab too. But anyway, I don't have a card. Anyway, see, if you only give spontaneously, you'll actually never be great at giving generously. Because there's a massive difference between giving and being generous. There's a big difference. So what do we know? Write this down. That as Christ followers, giving is what we do, but generous is who we are. See, God's changing our heart, and our hearts become more like God. So who we become is like him. And if God is generous and Christ is generous, then that's who we are. In order to be generous, giving is what we do, right? That's the action, but it's who we are is the generosity side of us, because there's a massive difference between those two. Giving is actually an action, but generosity is a mindset. And so to be generous kingdom people, kingdom-minded, we have to change our mindset. We have to actually allow Holy Spirit to change our mindset. But see, he uses the foolishness of preaching to save lives and to change hearts and to change mindsets. That's why we're preaching about this. There's a massive difference. We have to change our mindset, and we have to plan to overcome our selfish tendency to hoard and hold on to ourselves, to plan to be generous and to stand firm in our generosity. It means we're not wavering and being like a man or a boat on the ocean that's being tossed about. So what I want to do for our remaining minutes together is I want to give you some practical things. As we look at God's word, I want to show you three qualities of generous people. Three qualities, and it's up there on the screen for you already. So three qualities, and then pray that God helps us grow into these qualities is what we want to do. We want to say, God, teach us, and then Holy Spirit, change us, right? So what's the qualities? The first thing is this. Number one, we've got give willingly, give proportionally, and give sacrificially. Those are three things we're going to unpack just for the next few moments. And so the first one, let's look at the first one, giving willingly. Giving, generous people give willingly. Here's a scripture for you. 2 Corinthians 8 and 10, Paul says, hey, to the Corinthians, last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Like you wanted to do it, you just didn't follow through. He says, now finish the work that you're so eager, willingness to do it may be matched by your complete, like, hey, you were so eager to do it. Why don't you actually put the rubber to the road and actually do it now, right? Let's complete this. And like close the gap between our intentions and our actions. You want to be generous like Jesus, make sure that you are. Close the gap, right? Mind the gap. Now, how do you do it? According to your means, he says. Because look at it. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. See, have you ever thought like, well, I don't have very much to give, so I can't be generous today? Well, it says it's about actually giving according to what you already have. So God's given you things in your life to be generous with, in your time, your energy, and your finances. He's like, do what you can with what you have. Don't wait for more in order to give, to be generous, right? Like, that's what we wait. So generous give, people give willingness. And so, in other words, God isn't just concerned with the amount, but he's also very concerned with what's going on in your heart. And I can tell you right now, sometimes I've tried to give with the wrong heart. Have you ever tried to give with the wrong heart? Like, if I give this, you know, like, I'm going to get something in return, right? Like, if I buy my wife something, I'm going to get a little something, a little kiss on the cheek or something. You know, like, that's not generosity, by the way, right? That's usury, and that's, you know, having agendas and manipulative and all that kind of stuff. So that's not wrong, sorry, wrong heart. So he's concerned with that stuff in our lives, right? And sometimes it's even, have you ever given half-heartedly? Like, I've done that too. Like, God isn't concerned as much about the amount that you give, but he's concerned about what's going on in your heart. He wants the heart, your heart, to be a willing participant in his kingdom-like-mindedness to live out a generous life. In other words, somebody could give a bigger gift with the wrong motives, right? And that's not really being generous. Or somebody could give a smaller gift with the right heart and the right motives, and God actually sees that as generous. It's not just about the amount, but it's actually what's going up in your heart. And so whenever you give, you want to give with the right heart, right? This isn't like, hear me out. This isn't like to relieve your guilt either. That's not what we're trying to do. Like, oh, pastor talked about giving, so I'm going to give something today, right? Like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. It's not to make you feel better about yourself. It's certainly not to impress people. It's not to, you know, show off on social media, taking a selfie in front of my big paper check or whatever it is, right? Hey, look how generous I am. I give 10 bucks to UNICEF or whatever. It is to honor God and to bless people is why we're generous. It's to honor God and bless people. See, when you give from your heart, it's not I have to or I better or else. It's, oh man, God, I want to. Because God's doing something in me. He's changing my life. I haven't always been generous. I've been growing in my generosity in my own personal life. right? And it's like, man, after all you've done for me, God, you've showed up over and over in my bad bookkeeping, in my bad financial spending planning and all that jazz. God still shows up and he provides and he's talking to me and he's through my wife quite often too. I don't know why God sounds like Angela half the time. It's like, you know, you spent, you know, those new, look at you, I got some new shoes. You spent what on those new shoes? I actually got them for a really good deal. I got a bargain hunt, you know, so. I've got the gift of bargaining at the outlets. I got to go to Calgary. I want to be a blessing to others, though, not just myself, right? We love to bless ourselves, but God wants you to learn how to be a blessing to other people. He wants you to love him, be a blessing to him even, and to love others by being a blessing to those as well. Generous people, they give willingly. The second thing is important to note is that number two is generous people give proportionately. They give in proportion to what they have. And what's crazy is like one person could give 10 bucks to UNICEF and 10 bucks, and that's incredibly generous for somebody because that's all they have. And another person might give, you know, like 1,000 bucks and you go like, wow, that's really generous. And God might say, nah, I ain't generous at all. I see his bank account. I know he's got millions, and 1,000 bucks isn't like a nickel in a jar here for him. They're so rich they wouldn't even notice that, right? So generous people give in proportion to what they have. And maybe that's why Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 11. He said, oh, there it is. It says, give in proportion to what you have. Give a portion of a little. Give a portion of a medium amount. See, when God blesses you with a lot, give a portion of that lot, right? Give a portion to what you have been given. Whatever you give is acceptable. And if you give it eagerly, if you give it willingly, and give according to what you have, not what you don't have. So Scripture's saying, give in proportion to what God has already given you. See, what you have, God gave you in the first place, right? And we're going to watch as Paul teaches us in the New Testament a very similar principle to what we actually see all over the Old Testament as well. Essentially, he's going to teach us, write this down, if you're still taking notes, prioritize your portion. Meaning, set aside a portion in order to be a giver, in order to be generous. And you see it all over the Bible, by the way. We looked at some verses last week. You know, Kevin looked at some with you. And this week, we're going to look at Leviticus, another Old Testament verse out of Leviticus 27 and 30 that says a tithe, the Hebrew word for tithe is meazer, I'm not Hebrew, so forgive me, and that simply means one-tenth. It means a portion. It's one-tenth of everything from the land, he says, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees belongs to the Lord, because what? It's holy to the Lord. I don't know how many of you are farming, but I'm not farming anymore, but I'm still farming in other means, and it's not the ground, but I'm working. I'm making money, right? So he says, it belongs to the Lord, your first fruits. It's holy to the Lord. Scripture says in multiple different places that we return the tithe to God, 10% of what he's actually entrusting with us, we give it back to him because it belongs to him. And it's holy. It's meant for holy purposes, right? And many of you are thinking the very same thing that I thought the first time I heard this crazy stuff. Like, what a whack. What? This is crazy. No way. Like, have you seen my bank? Have you seen my bills? It's crazy, PC, and Paul said essentially the same thing, right? He's like, I would have to rearrange my entire life around God is how we feel about these things. I mean, I might even have to make some changes in order to do what God is asking us to do. I'm going to actually have to learn how to reprioritize God in my life over all the things that I'm already doing in my life because it's upside down. But guess what? This isn't the only area of your life, by the way, that was upside down when you found Jesus. There's a lot of things you've had to reprioritize. Like your sex life, your ethics, like your work ethics even. And some of you are still working on that. Like show up for work on time. Be there early if you can. Put on a smile. Love your job. Love your boss too. I know he's annoying. I get it. But that's what God's doing in us. He's changing our ethics. He's changing our character. He's changing our mindsets. Would you let him change your mindset toward generosity and how you give and how you work your finances, your time and your energy as well? Crazy PC. But Paul said this. He says, prioritize your portion. 1 Corinthians 16:2, he says this. I love the Bible. The Bible gives us a really plain teaching. And I just want to bring it to your attention because that's my job. On the first day of each week, what should you do? You should each put aside a portion of the money that you have earned. See, generous people are going to give in proportion to what they have. And the very first time that I took the step of radical faith to tithe, I was nervous, actually. It kind of scared me. Like, am I going to have enough left over, God? Like, will I be okay? Are my dreams going to be realized here? But I have made the decision to walk out obediently with God. So I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to trust you, right? And I've grown in this trust, and I'm still so thankful that I chose to take that step to tithe on my income And even on my time and my energy, by the way, because I think we sometimes, I've watched this a lot of times, people will tithe on their income, but never tithe on their energy nor their time, and don't show up to serve in the church, don't show up to serve in their city. Like, I want to tithe on all of it. 10% of all my energy, what does that look like? That's why when I come to church, I'm like, whoo, let's go. Because I'm giving my energy back to God. Some of you do that at the gym. Well, do it for God first, then go to the gym later, right? Just trying to help somebody out, because you know what? God's going to bless you when you make the same things that God calls holy, when you make it holy and reverent in your own life. God shows up, I'm thankful, and does what he does to provide, to bless. It's been a game changer in my life to learn the principles that the Bible teaches us about stewarding my time, energy, and finances. And what I'm not saying, though, I want you to hear me really clearly. I'm not saying that if you tithe, that you're going to get a brand new car. That's called the happiness gospel, that God's in it for, you know, I'm going to give. And it's like the same thing I did, you know, with my wife. I'm like, I'm going to give her flowers, and I'm going to get a little something, something later. It's not generosity, friends. It's not. It's an agenda. It's a wrong heart to live your life from. So I don't give to God so he gives me a brand new car next week or a new. He's going to bless you. You're going to have a car. It's going to be functional. He doesn't want you to be proud, so it might have an exhaust leak and a, you know, whatever. It's okay, you got a car. And if you don't have a car, the bus works great too. Like, it's awesome. Somebody picks me up, drops me off. So I'm not saying that if you give, you're going to get all your dreams come true, get the vacation you dreamed of. You might, but that's not the promise, right? Here's what I promise you. Here's what Scripture promises you. What I'm saying is that God said, test me in this. It's the only thing in Scripture that God says, test me in this, in bringing your tithe back into the storehouse, and I will pour out my blessings on you. So why don't some of you get up and start testing God? Start testing him in your time and your energy and your finance and see how God shows up and blesses, encourages, and leads you. And it's beautiful. Test me in this and see if I want to prove myself faithful, God says. God will provide. He'll bless you. It may be material. It might be financial. It might be spiritual. That actually might be relational. You'll be surprised at how many things that your obedience and your finances, your obedience and your time and energy actually is going to impact your relationships. And the growth and the blessing and the purity and the discovery that you're going to have in that. Like, he shows up in every aspect of your life. He's not just a one-track-minded God. He sees all of your situation, right? God just proves himself over and over. Like, this is the only time he says to test him. And I've learned, and I'm still learning, to continue to be faithful and to multiply the seed that God puts in my hand, right? What God has given me for his glory, by the way, and for his kingdom's sake. See, it's not just about me. It's really about the bigger picture. God has purchased me, and he's given me a job. And his job is to move his great church forward in this city. And so what do I do to help move his church forward in this city? Because that's how his kingdom works in and through the earth. Oh, some of you quiet today. Amen. You preach. Oh, where am I at anyways? Multiply the seed. What has God given me for his glory and for his kingdom's sake? And our whole ability today is to be a blessing and to understand how to manage resources in God's church. And it started actually for myself and my wife and I started with God's faithfulness after we took that step to begin to tithe. And see, tithing is spiritual and it's God-honoring. Scripture says the first and best belongs to the Lord. You cannot outgive God, by the way. You can't. And some of you today, you'll do what I did. You'll go, okay, praise God, I'm giving 10%, bringing the tithe back to the storehouse, smile. Others will go, nah, ain't no way I'm doing that today, right? And so a lot of times people go, ain't no way. So you don't do anything, right? But here's the thing. I hope you can hear me on this. If you don't do anything, you're never going to be more generous by doing nothing, right? It's like, I'm going to save, and you never save. When you do nothing, you train yourself to be not generous. You're not engaging in the training that God's bringing to your table. You're training yourself in a different way, yourself, right? Because sometimes we're self-righteous, and we're like, I'm going to train myself, actually, God. And so we train ourselves. Actually, here's what you're training yourself, not to be generous and not to trust God in your finances. That's what we're training ourselves when we don't participate in, okay, God, I'm allowing myself to be trained. Oh, this is scary. It is. There's a lot of things in life that's scary, though. You drive a car every day, right? Like, we're training ourselves not to trust God with our finances. So if you want to do what I did and start with the tithe and the tenth of your time, energy, and finance, do it. Just do it, Nike says. And you don't have to stop there, by the way, either. It's a starting point. If you can't get there and you want to say, well, here's what I would recommend. I would encourage you, start at 3%. Start at 5% and grow from there in your obedience. Grow, you're like, put the training wheels on and just take the step to train yourself to be generous, right? I would just encourage you to start somewhere, because you will never accidentally be great at being generous. Generous people have a plan, and they stand firm in their generosity. Somebody could just clap for a moment for that. Oh, man. Because everybody else is being really quiet today. So listen, I can't hold back on teaching about these things, these godly principles here at Beloved City Church. We are a church that will preach the Word of God. All of it, not just the comfort parts, right? Like, we're like, oh. I'm not a hireling that scratches itching ears of the sheep. I will live out and preach what God wants his body to learn. And the sheep to know and to live out. Like, that's on me. And I refuse to keep quiet and rob you of God's provision and blessing on your finances and on your time and on your energy, on your health, whatever it might be. See, generous people, they give willingly. We want to be like God. We want to be a blessing to others. They give proportionally. And then this is the one that's actually really difficult. Got it there. Ready? Give sacrificially. Generous people give sacrificially. Say sacrificially with me. I don't even know sometimes if we know what that means anymore. We live in Canada. We don't know what it means to sacrifice sometimes. You know, when we look at stories around the world, we're inspired sometimes, like, whew, wow, that's crazy that they had to go through that. Right? We just don't give when it's easy, and they don't just give when it's comfortable, but they actually, just what sacrificial people do, they actually give in a way that they often feel it. Like, ooh, that hurt a little bit. In fact, Jesus tells a powerful story about a poor widow that gave sacrificially. Some of you might know this if you're Christianese like me, and he says this in Mark's gospel. He tells us this in Mark 12:41. Jesus gets really awkward here, sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowd dropped their money in. Can you imagine somebody just watching as the offering plate goes by? That would be a little awkward, wouldn't it? We haven't done that yet. We probably won't. But Jesus, like, it's a sobering thought that Jesus is like looking around the column of the temple, right? And watching somebody put money in the basket. Would make some of us squirm. Like, what, honey? That's crazy. Mark, he says, many rich people were there. And they gave what was easy. They gave large amounts. Then a poor widow came in and dropped in 2 small coins. Jesus calls his disciples over, you know, said to them, hey, I tell you some truth here. This poor widow has given more than all the others who are walking through making this contribution today. For they gave the tiniest part of their surplus. See, it wasn't a sacrifice. It was easy for them. It was comfortable. It wasn't even a proportion, or, you know. But she, this widow, poor as she is, has given everything that she had to live on. Like, it's incredibly emotional when you think about it. Like, it's mind-blowing. Some of you are like that widow, and you are so generous with your financial resources, with your time, with your energy, with your faithfulness to sow with everything you've got and with your service. And others of us, not so much, if we were to be honest. And so I would ask you to think about, when is the last time, I think I have this for you, write this down so you can pray over it. When is the last time you gave sacrificially? When is the last time that you gave and you felt it? Now let's just call it what it is. For some of us, it's really difficult to do that, right? Because at some point, you can be so comfortable that you can give what seems like a large amount to everyone else, but we don't feel it. So when's the last time you've given your time, your part, your faithfulness, your resources in a way that you actually felt it and then allow God to show up and make up the difference? I'll tell you about a time that I felt it. God showed up in a very special way. We were early in the church planting days in Alberta, back in the old days when our kids were young. So this feels like a long time. No, it doesn't, but we had a starter family. We just had 2 kids, right? And that's all we had. And but we were an exhausted couple in some sense from working co-vocationally and pastoring and starting a church at the same time. Sounds familiar. We're still there. But there was this young family in our church that in the dead of winter had their car breakdown. In Alberta, I don't know if you've ever been there. It's colder than hell. I'm not sure if hell's cold. When hell freezes over, that kind of cold. But minus 30, like, it's so cold, right? Like, you can die in that kind of stuff, right? And they had 3 little kids and they needed a vehicle. They couldn't afford to repair their vehicle. And like, you can't wait for a bus in minus 30 in the dead of winter. And you certainly can't afford to pay for taxis very often when you have can't afford to pay, you know, fix your car. So with 3 little kids, someone's going to get hurt like that, right? And so Angela and I, we had 2 cars. And we both worked at 2 different places, 2 different locations at this time. So we needed 2 cars. But together, here's what we did. We prayed. We felt Holy Spirit nudging our hearts to give them one of our cars. That's what we felt. We're like, crazy, right? But we prayed about it. And we could just offer them rides. Like, God, that's easier. I could just pick them up every day and take them to work or whatever's needed, right? Or get groceries. But that sounds complicated. So, or we could just give them one of our cars. And I was challenged. I even felt reluctant. Like, oh, I paid for this car. It's paid off. Like, oh, God. But we felt that this is what God was laying on my heart to do. And Angela agreed. This is not. I think this is right. You and me and the Holy Spirit. And so we gave this couple one of our cars. And no money, no pay me later, no, you know, owe me or whatever, no strings attached. It's yours. Be blessed. And that felt like a sacrifice that I felt, because now me and Angela be carpooling every day to work, going different ways. You know, she can't go for lunch and I get to go for lunch, or vice versa, right? Like, take the car. Like, and it was like my first and last Cadillac too. I know Jay's got a Cadillac now too. It's hard to, what I'm trying to say is when you give sacrificially, you feel it. You miss the money or whatever it is, the time, the energy that you're giving from, there's a hole there. You feel it. And that's what, I recognized that it was a sacrifice in my life. And Angela and I were destined to carpool for the next few months down to one car until we could save up and buy another car. And I felt, yeah, God has given back to us so extravagantly in my life. Because I know, here's what I know. You cannot outgive God. Like, it's a competition. It's on, God. Watch this, you know, like, no. You just can't, though. And so when it comes to your money, let's remember, God never said to be great at spending on yourself. You got to admit, we got a generation that can hit click faster than anybody. There's so many boxes coming to your house, you're going to have to buy your Amazon delivery guy a Christmas present because he's almost family. I know, true story. Listen, the Bible never said to be great at spending on yourself. The Bible never said be great at finding, I'm just trying to teach you some Bible, not finding the best bargains. He didn't say that either. The Bible never said to be great at storing up yourself treasures on earth. He actually said, no, store your treasures in heaven instead, where moth and rust won't destroy. Be great at storing up treasures in heaven, in heavenly places. And guess what? Heaven has already begun. It's eternity. Like, we're talking, we don't just get to heaven. Heaven begins when we get there. That's so individualistic in our thinking. Heaven's already begun. So we're storing up treasures by moving God's church forward as part of how we do it. So together, it takes a team, moving in together, giving, serving, loving, like Jesus. So be great at giving. Excel at your ministry of giving, because giving is spiritual. It is a ministry. So here's how we close. Never be, or don't be like, I won't say never, because that's a shame word, but because we're still going to go there, we're going to make mistakes. Let's not be like the Corinthians, though, right? Let's give willingly, joyfully, how about hilariously, and thankfully. Let's give proportionately. Let's start with a tithe. Let it be a starting point for you today. 10% back to God. Then we're going to give offerings above there even, like alms and offerings. It's mind-blowing what you can do in the kingdom of heaven to move God's kingdom forward. And then let God take care of you. Instead of being independent, self-reliant, say, God, I'm going to be walking in obedience in my time, my energy, my finances. I'm going to give you my best, my first. I know it's crazy, but you watch, friends, as God shows up. Let's start. Let's be givers. Let's be generous. And then every now and then when God prompts you, let's give sacrificially. And what you may find is you just cannot outgive God. Because when you give, you may never be more like God. For God so loved the world, friends, that he gave. And that's the character and mindset that we are wanting to be like God. God, help me to be like you. Help me to have a heart like you. Help my mindset to think like you, God. I know that sounds crazy because I'm just a mere human being and I'm not going to have it all figured out. That's okay. But God, I'm trusting you to help me. God so loved the world he gave. You may never be more like God than when you give. Let's pray, friends.